It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Mike Schopen and the Bulldog, Sal Capaccio on the West Her Hotline. The Bills have 16 players listed on their latest injury report just out in the last few minutes. But, Sal, maybe is it overall good news?
Yeah. Rarely do you see 16 players and say, they're pretty healthy, guys. but that's the case, because out of the 16, only one is a DNP, and even that is due to partly vet rest day. Yes, there's a foot injury attached to that with Daquan Jones, but it's foot/vet rest, so that pretty much lets you know that he should be okay. He'd probably be practicing if it wasn't the case. We'll see tomorrow. But, guys, I mean, full participant for James Cook, that's obviously really good news. So, yeah, I would say this is as healthy as the Bills have been since week one. And even in week one, Taron Johnson went down with an injury.
And speaking of Taron Johnson, he and Bernard, who've been working their way back, are still limited. But that's just, I imagine, being cautious. Like, there's nothing new there, I'm hoping.
No, because they're listed with the same injuries.
Right.
Bernard, pectoral, and let me find him, Taron Johnson, for him. So same injuries, and they were both wearing red jerseys today. So was Dalton Kincaid, as he appeared yesterday with the on the injury report, and today again with the collarbone injury, and also Mac Hollins. So I would say so for sure. Like, it's a short week, guys, so I would think that has something to do with it. Like, hey, it's a quick turnaround. Let's just be really as cautious as we can as these guys go through practice.
I want to get to that. Ray Davis was added today. That's a new name from yesterday, and talk about him for a minute. Just, one more injury report question in terms of, like, the protocol, Sal. Like, Allen is still on it. He's been playing. Practiced in full yesterday. Yesterday's a walkthrough, but still. Today, too.
No glove today.
No glove. At what point can they just remove him?
At the point where he's not receiving any treatment whatsoever.
Okay, that's how that works. Okay.
So if you go to get any sort of treatment, even if you're full, you're limited, you have to be listed on the injury report. So if something's bothering you in any way, and you go to the trainers and they just examine it, take a look at it, you should receive treatment in some way, you're good to go. You got to be listed on the injury report. So that's when they can remove him.
If we had an injury report, Bulldog, would we both be on it every day for something?
Yes.
Just like, oh, my hip.
I got some kind of soreness all the time.
Put it on the list.
Yeah, no, I haven't been 100% in 20 years.
Oh, at least.
let's not dwell on that. And once he's on it, like Allen, just a procedural follow-up to Mike's question, Sal, I hope you don't mind. Allen, like, if he didn't need to get any more treatment starting tomorrow, he'd still be on the injury report because he was on it Wednesday and Thursday? Is that right? Like, do guys
Correct.
Drop off
they
it?
Would,
no, right.
They would keep it on there, but you would see a full listed there, but
and that's it.
They might just put a dash, actually, is what you do. You'd see a dash because he basically didn't have any treatment, so there's nothing even there. He's off the injury report, right?
Okay.
So you'd see a dash there. So that's what that would mean, like kind of dropping off, but you have to kind of account for the previous 2 days.
Right. Sort of like Ray Davis in reverse, because yesterday he had no designation.
Yep.
There's a dash next to Wednesday there, recognizing it was a walkthrough, but whatever. Other guys have designations. But today, now limited with a calf, I hope that's not serious. I don't want to steal Mike's, line of questioning here, but...
Well, it seems like it would be something new.
You're right. It's definitely something new, I think. And there was a kind of a breakthrough for him on Monday night.
Yeah, for sure. And on top of that, remember a couple weeks ago with that Oliver guys, right? Like, he was listed with a hamstring in limited, and I told you I'd seen him during practice kind of being limited with the hamstring, but he went back into drills. Said, so I didn't think anything necessary was happening there. It could be possible he left with an injury. We found out the next day he left practice with an injury. So let's hope that's not the case here with Ray Davis. I will have Sean McDermott on at 10:45 or so tomorrow on the Extra Point Show. So I'll ask him, just like that week that happened with Ed Oliver, he revealed at that time, Ed left practice with an injury and then basically said he wasn't going to play or he was questionable at that point. So hopefully that's the case. That's not the case with Ray Davis. Hopefully it's just something that, he was receiving treatment on today.
So on Davis, he was very good on Monday night against the Jets. I'm sure you'd agree. What does it mean Is it different now with the Bills at running back? And then I say that, and sometimes I'm critical of Cook, or not critical, just not as, you know, impressed as everybody else maybe. But I'm not coming at this from a standpoint like that he hasn't been effective for the Bills. He's been fine. But did Davis show enough, Sal, where you think he might play more?
More? Sure. I think I could see that. I don't think there's any way he's, you know, kind of taking over. Now that you're suggesting it, Mike. Taking over the, you know, lead role or cutting super far into James Cook. I do think you could see him play more than what he had been playing, because I think that could be situationally. Short yardage, goal line. Like maybe we're starting to, maybe we start to see him a little bit more there. But even, you know, in regular situations, you know, putting him out there, because I think trust is the word here you have to look at. You can trust him. He did a great job of holding onto the ball, physical, always falling forward, getting those tough yards. It's also a long season. And James Cook is coming off an injury this week, and you want to make sure he's healthy for the rest of the year. So I think with that trust, I think with what he's done, that kind of gets you more to a spot where, hey, when we have an opportunity, we can put him in the game, and that takes a little bit off James Cook as well. I don't think that's a negative on James Cook in any way. It's just showing that you have other options to, you know, make sure that everybody stays fresh.
Yeah, mostly the pecking order, the way I've seen it anyway, and I don't have the snaps game to game right out in front of me, but I feel like Ty Johnson has been, I sort of expected Ty Johnson to get the game Ray Davis ended up having Monday night.
He started.
You're right. He was the first guy in, and he's been, I think, mostly the first guy in to spell Cook whenever Cook comes out, whether that, again, is tactical or Cook just needs a blow or whatever it is. I feel like Davis maybe at least sell past Johnson in that respect, and like he should be the first guy in, but again, that might be situational too. I think they like Johnson's speed to the edge. He's shown to be dependable as a receiver. Davis made that circus catch downfield, but we haven't really seen him in like a, you know, short passing game or just utilize the way Cook and or Johnson have been used. But I feel like Davis, if he's been behind Johnson, Monday night at least should change that, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, and I think that the plan probably was at some point that this would happen with the two. That, yeah, they really like Johnson, but they drafted Ray Davis in the fourth round. They really like him as a fit in this offense, and this was the opportunity to use him. So, and Ty Johnson can also return kicks, plays a little bit more, you know, in that role. So I think that this might have been something they were going to get to eventually, but what you saw then on, you know, Monday night kind of gets you more fully there a little bit quicker, maybe.
I did like, you mentioned the falling forward, getting the extra yards. Yeah. I feel like Davis is, he's just a different style runner than Cook. Cook's a little more slippery and shifty, I'd say. And Davis, I love the battle. I think anyone who appreciates a running back who's going to be that physical, I think would.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
To a degree. I mean, he just put everything in there. And as I say, Cook doesn't. It's just a different style is all. And, you know, it maybe just comes down to preference. And like you said, game situation, matchup, that kind of thing. Who knows? I mean, this is a team they're playing this Sunday in Tennessee with two just mountains of men in the middle of the defensive line. Maybe it's Ty Johnson and trying to test the edge a little bit more in this game, and Cook too.
Yeah, for sure. I thought that last week, even though James Cook is, you know, your number one running back and he's certainly dynamic, you never want to be without him. I thought last week was the kind of game where, you know, it sets up pretty well to have a guy like Ray Davis and a guy like Ty Johnson. They're both very hard runners, and you want to run straight at that defense. You know, don't want to give them an opportunity to catch you in the backfield. Don't want to give them an opportunity. They're going to penetrate on you. There's going to be some running lanes that are going to open because of that. You go straight ahead at them, and that's exactly what happened. Not a lot of room for dancing. So I thought last week was that opportunity. This week, it's another really tough matchup, guys. I mean, this is a really, really good defense they're facing in the Tennessee Titans. So, I mean, a physical running back like Ray Davis, like we just said, Ty Johnson. I think they could all have a role, and especially a game like this, like we just said. You know, you see what you saw last week and Monday night. You know, I think you're facing another really physical front. There's probably another opportunity here for Ray Davis to get some touches.
Just want to get sort of a broader perspective from you, Sal, on how the Bills sit here at 4-2. I mean, we've talked about it every day, so there's no need for me to go on about just what's happened already. But respecting these points about the Titans, for me, a line was drawn after the Jet game. Like, that was a chunk of the season, the three road games in a row, four in prime time out of six, all of that. And they really came out of it fine. I mean, a game and a half up, and with the road wins over the Dolphins and the Jets. Now, I mean, nobody wants to take the players, especially. They don't want to take games for granted, but it looks like they've come out of a tunnel here a little bit.
I agree with that. I mean, look, let's go back, you know, to, I understand that, you know, you want certain things back, and you say, well, they shouldn't have lost that game or this game, and how they looked against Houston and what happened at the end of the game. We can always debate, like, how they gave one away. There's no doubt. But, man, if you look at the schedule to start the season and you say, first six games, look at that, could you take 4-2, which I'm sure we talked about here? Mm-hmm. No doubt, right? I mean, like, 4-2 coming out of that stretch, looking at the next four games, looks mighty appetizing. And if you think about the two games they lost, sure, it's going to hurt them in the standings. They're two AFC games, but there's no shame in losing to those two teams, right, on the road, at Baltimore on a Sunday night, at the Houston Texans, and C.J. Stroud and, you know, the team that they've put together. So I like this, and I agree with you, Mike. Like, even going back to the Amari Cooper trade, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, how well the Bills kind of overestimated what they had at wide receiver, and maybe that's true. Like, we can go back to all the stuff we talked about, and hey, maybe they shouldn't have said, we're going to be fine with Josh Allen and all these guys, and they had to kind of pivot. Maybe that's the case. I'd also tell you there's another side to that, which is, if that was the case, they still got through this at 4-2, and look where they are right now. Right. So they could also tell you, hey, it worked out pretty good, actually.
We were talking earlier about the AFC with Denver playing tonight. Looked at the reverse AFC power rankings from Tuesday, and Denver came in at 7, and it feels different. And this always happens, I suppose, but you think you have an idea how tough a schedule will be or how good the conference will be. Before the season, Dolphins, Jets, Bengals, maybe one or two other teams, they're not as good as I might have guessed before the season, and that can change again. But right now, I think there's a big four in the AFC, Sal, the four division leaders, although the Steelers are also tied for first, and I'm not including them. But I think right now, if I had to guess, I'm looking at another first-round home game against a team that, you know, the Bills are probably favored to beat by 8.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that. To me, it's been pretty much, I guess Cincinnati's been a bit of a disappointment, but I still think they're a pretty good team. They're a very good offensive team. We'll see where their season's going to go from here because it's not looking good right now. I'm not a true believer in Pittsburgh. I have no idea what's happening there with the quarterback or why they're doing this. It just seems very odd and strange, whatever. But can you really see the Chargers threatening Kansas City? Not at this time. So what does that leave you with? Buffalo's clearly the head and shoulders team in the AFC East. Baltimore is, to me, in the AFC North, with all due respect to Pittsburgh's record right now. Houston is in the South, and Kansas City is. That's it, the four division leaders. I think you're right there. You guys know at the end of the year, Miami and the Jets play that last weekend, right? I mean, I'm looking at the standings right now and thinking it's very possible that game could come down to a final playoff spot between those two teams. I mean, who else is going to be in the mix? Think about the other teams. Cincinnati could be there, I guess. Mm-hmm. Denver could be there, I guess. But that's really it. Take the six teams we're in right now. Seven, sorry. Kansas City, Houston, Baltimore, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Chargers, Indy. Yeah, you could have them. They're all going to be in the mix. I think Miami, I think the Jets, I think Denver's in there. So however it shakes out, you could have Miami and the Jets fighting for that last spot there. And maybe that's a team, maybe that's a game that ultimately determines who the Bills wind up playing at home, to your point of, okay, here we go. The Bills are going to be a touchdown favorite against whoever wins.
Thank you for indulging me on this. I know it's like 3 months away, but it's always fun to look at the standings. Yeah,
it is. And I look right now and I say, like, I agree with you about Pittsburgh. Indy has the 7 seed right now.
Right.
Do we think Indy's really going to be there at the end? I don't.
I don't.
Based on what I've seen.
I think the Bengals are going to track down and pass the Steelers. Mm-hmm. The Ravens win that division. So I think the Steelers fall by the wayside, replaced by the Bengals. But after that, like, I don't know. That's where Miami and the Jets, I'm not a believer in the Jets. We'll see if Miami can, you know, get a win this week and then get Tua back. But I don't know where the other playoff spots are coming from. You know, like there's a bunch of teams that I just think are dead in the water. Even, you know, despite their records right now, Indy and Denver are two of them to me. I don't think they're going to get there.
No, I agree. And we'll find out. I mean, Denver tonight, they're playing the Saints. The Saints have a backup quarterback. They're without both Olave and Rashid Shaheed, right? Like, what's going to happen there? Denver's defense is already excellent. So I think Denver should have a really great chance to win tonight. And, you know, then Denver all of a sudden improves their record to 4-3. They're still sitting there in the mix. I think the best thing you hope for as Bills fans here is that both Denver and the Chargers kind of stay afloat here and give Kansas City a run for their money when they play them. It doesn't even have to be at the end of the year for record-wise. It's just when they play them, give them a couple more losses.
Yeah.
All right, Sal, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, guys, thanks.
All right, Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are always brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Joe Ostrowski coming up in less than 20 minutes. The Sabres are in Columbus, coming off last night's exciting overtime loss. See how positive I can be?
Entertaining, even.
Entertaining.
You could say. Yep.
Overtime loss to the Penguins. Who loses that game? Who loses that game?
This team.
The goalie gets run early. Like, who loses that game? Anyway, I was on a very positive stretch.
We know they scored too much early because yes. Jari needed to stay in the game because he was a disaster. So I needed him to stay in.
They should have passed up the shot.
It was that third goal Paterka. That did him in. Yeah.
He should not have shot that.
I agree.
We don't want to get too far ahead. All right. Well, it was positive there for a split second. Paul at 6 with the pregame show. Joe Ostrowski coming up too. 803-0550 to join us next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.